Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. And thank Kim and the elders for giving me the opportunity to share with you this morning. And this morning I'm going to speak on theft. I forgot to. I'd like to speak on something that I feel and I've seen on many occasions in ministry. Something that holds back God's people from ever entering the true place of freedom that God has for us. So this morning I'm going to share some thoughts. I do not want you to get afraid when I make some comments. I'll clarify my comments. But I'm sure that God is going to challenge us this morning. I believe that God is calling His church to a greater place with Him. We've been listening over the past few weeks. As Kim has been sharing with us, he shared with us on the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he had kept a couple of the commandments. He had not fulfilled all of them. And then Jesus said to him, he said, well, you've kept all of this. Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And he found it a very difficult thing and left totally sad by what Jesus had said to him. And sometimes in our lives we can follow all the rules and regulations, and we can do the right things. We can jump at the right time. We can say amen at the right time. We can shout hallelujah on time. But sometimes we miss the finer details of things that can actually be stolen away from us. And that's what I've entitled my sermon this morning, Theft. Kim also reminded us last week of how much God loves us. God loves us much more than we could ever imagine. I think sometimes we don't fully understand the love of God. You say, Gavin, but why do you say that? Well, we can see it in our lives. All we need to do is sit down on a Friday afternoon and take stock of the week and then write down what took place Monday to Friday, and we'll be amazed at the things that happen in our lives personally. There's all kinds of things that happen. There's the blessings of God on our lives, and then there's the shortfalls, and there's the dangers, and there's the trials, and there's the tribulations, and there's the shortcomings, and there's areas where we are totally robbed of the peace of God. We are totally robbed of the fullness of God in our life. We are totally robbed of having an understanding of the true love of God. So this morning I want to share some thoughts with you. I preached in the first meeting, the Malagasy meeting, and I said to the guys when I started preaching, I said, how many of you like me? How many of you enjoy me? And I'm not sure if you're going to still like me and love me and enjoy me after the message. But it's a message that I feel God has not just given for you as a church, but He's given to me as a person, for all of us, including me. We never exclude ourselves as preachers. We include ourselves. So this morning I want to share what God wants to say to us on theft. Now when we sit and we think about theft, I wonder what comes to our mind. There's a lot of us here this morning. Is there anyone here that has never had something stolen from them? Anybody? I don't think that I never saw anybody in the Malagasy meeting this morning that could say, I've never had anything stolen from me. And folks, as children of God, and as people that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that have been purchased by a high price, we also have many, many things stolen from us in the spiritual realm, in the context of our spiritual lives. And Jesus was very clear. In John 10 verse 10, He made a statement. And I've mentioned this scripture many, many times. It's something that I really believe. It's an area where we should live. As God's people, we live in freedom. Right? Who's free here this morning? Yeah, we should all be free. You've been set free. The Word of God says, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. We are free. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your personal Savior, you've been baptized, you've received the gift of the promise, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, it works in your life, you are free. The Son who's set free is free indeed. So before we go to the scripture, let us pray. Why don't you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you, Lord, for an awesome day that you have given us. I want to also thank you, Lord, for your love and your greatness and your goodness. And thank you, Father, for your grace. I want to thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. We want to thank you above all things, O God, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have placed in us the Spirit of truth. And Father, this morning, as we sit around your word, we want to have an understanding that you are the great eternal King. We want to know, Lord, that you care for us. We want to know, Father, that you are instructing us. We want to know that you are leading and guiding us. And Father, as a church, as Tana City Church, we look to you this morning and say, Father, grace us with your presence. We ask, Lord, for an anointing on lips of clay this morning. We pray, Lord, for clarity of your word. We pray, Lord, for deep insight in our own lives that we may know that you are the eternal King. In Jesus' name, amen. So I quoted John 10:10. Jesus said, he said, the thief has come to kill, to steal, to rob, to destroy. He's come to take away. So now we have to, we start off with that. But Jesus never stopped there. He went one step further and he said, but I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Now the question we need to ask ourselves is, what has the thief come to steal? What has he come to rob us of? What has he killed? What has he destroyed? And if we had to make a list, and if I had a whiteboard here, we could quickly write up a list, and we know that he'll come and he'll steal our joy, he'll steal our happiness, he'll steal our peace, he'll steal all kinds of stuff away from us. Because that is what he's designed to do. He's the enemy of the brothers. He's the enemy of the believers. But folks, I want to tell you there's a far greater enemy that moves around the circles of church. And when I say church, I speak on a global sense. I don't define any specific church. I want to say the body of Christ, us as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones that have been redeemed, the ones that have been purchased by Christ himself. There's a greater enemy, and it sits within the confines of the body of Christ. And you're going to say to me, but Gavin, the devil is the greatest enemy. Yes, the devil is the greatest enemy. But there are other tools. Let me say, maybe I should redefine the enemy and say, rather there are tools. There are instruments that work within the context of the church. Now, Jesus was very clear. He said that he's going to come and he's going to steal away from us. He's going to take away our joy. He's going to take away our unity. He's going to take away our corporateness. He's going to do all kinds of things to bring destruction to the body of Christ, to bring destruction to us as individuals. And I had a look at the scriptures, and there's some scriptures that I've gone through. And there's been one that has always stood out for me over the years in my walk with the Lord. And it's something that I had another look at it again during the week. And then I realized, but wait, let me really see clearly this scripture. And the scripture is found in Matthew chapter 10. And it's one verse. It's verse 28. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And it's a time that Jesus had sent out the disciples. He had called the disciples to him. He gathered his 12 and he had given them authority. In verse 1 it says that he called the disciples to him. He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits. And he sent them out and he said, okay, now you go on your way. And you go and you heal the sick and you raise the dead. And you speak life into people's lives. You take care. But he also brought them some warnings. And he said to them, listen here, guys, you need to pay attention. You need to be careful because out there is trouble. Now I want to say this, we're going to leave here in half an hour or 45 minutes time, and now everything is quite okay, right? Everybody is kind of happy. Are you happy this morning?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Everybody's happy this morning? If you're not happy, raise your hand, we pray for you. Can get the spirit of happiness quickly on you. Now be happy here this morning, but we're going to leave here, and we're going to step out into the zone of reality. We're going to step out into life, everyday life. We've just come through a week. Some of us have had a great week. Some of us have lived like it's been hell on earth, for the expression. It's been a tough week. We've had to fight many, many battles. And then Jesus here, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says this. He gives the disciples a very clear warning. And he says this to them. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." So that's a warning. He says, listen here guys, be careful of the guys with the guns, the machetes, the catties. Those of you who don't know Lender Beer, be careful if he has a catty in his hand. He's known to shoot the elders' wives with his catty. That's true, eh, Len? Duly noted. Please put it in the bulletin. No. The reality is there, the one that can kill the body. What is the body? Let's stop there for a moment. And folks, I want you to hear what I'm going to say here this morning. And I don't want you to make I don't want you to stumble over this, and I don't want you to make it your pet subject. But I sat and I thought this thing through. What is this where Jesus says, fear them that are going to kill the body? So, okay, so take a piece of paper, take a pen, and then I define what can kill my body. So I find out if somebody shot me with a bullet, and they got me in the right place, I could die. Somebody stabbed me with a knife in the right place, I could die. If somebody hit me over the head with a brick in the right place, I could die. If somebody slapped me hard enough, I could die. If they slapped hard enough. There's all kinds of things that could kill this body. There's all kinds of ways. I could be run over by a car. I could be run over by a zebu cart. I could fall in a river and drown. I could slip off the ladder there and break my neck like I did a few years ago, almost. Fortunately, I didn't break my neck. But there are many, many things that can kill this body. But there's more to it than that. Our lifestyle can kill this body. So I say to myself, okay, now what can kill me, kill this body, if I define things that could kill my body besides being murdered, shot, stabbed, run over by a bus, etc., etc. There's many things. If I smoke too many cigarettes, I could get lung cancer. I could die of lung cancer. I could die of emphysema. I could have throat cancer. I could lose my fingers from all the nicotine stains on my fingers. There's all kinds of stuff that could kill this body. I could, if I drank too much, I could end up with cirrhosis of the liver, and that could kill this body. If I over-exercised, I could kill this body. If I worked too hard and I didn't take time to rest, like Rufus, where's Rufus? Rufus over there. Don't work so hard. You guys had to overdo it. If you don't rest enough, I can kill this body. I can bring damage to this body, this fleshly body. So when I see that, and I see Jesus warned, he said, be careful of those that can kill the body. Us as children of God, as sons and daughters of the King, we can kill our bodies. Personally kill our bodies. We can personally inflict all kinds of diseases on our bodies. Am I right? Do you agree with me? There's all kinds of things that we can do. If you sit up all night watching television and you never sleep, you'll kill your brain. Because your brain needs to rest. You need to sleep. Mammy, stay off the computer all night, eh? So guys, these are things that kill the body. These are what I want to say are physical, fleshly things that can bring destruction to this flesh. If you cut it, it bleeds. But the thing here is, Jesus also said one more thing. He said, take care of him that is able to kill the soul. Your soul is connected to your emotions. It's a thing that makes you laugh. It's a thing that makes you cry. It's the thing that you are. This year is just not a checkers packet. What can I use? It's a jumbo Shoprite plastic bag. Okay? This what you see here. It's not a very good looking jumbo bag, but it's a jumbo bag. Now when you die, this jumbo bag is going to rot. It's going to decay. The worms are going to eat it. Whatever the case is. You're going to have nothing left. But what is inside you is my soul. And this soul is connected to my spirit. And this spirit is connected to the Spirit of God because I have received the Spirit of God. You have received the Spirit of God. The Word of God says that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. So it lives inside this checkers, jumbo, Shoprite packet with you. And whatever you do, this is what is happening. Folks, that soul and that spirit, where Jesus said, take care of him that can destroy that, that can kill that. And folks, we always, in our mind and in our thinking, and I want you guys to hear this. I want you to know that I stand under correction here. This soul or spirit that can be killed, the devil can destroy it. He can destroy it. If you hand it over and you give up and you give over to the wills of the devil, he will take you and he'll run you through the mill and he'll destroy you. If you hand it over to God and you surrender your life to God, he will bring you life. He will bring you an abundance. He will bring you freedom, because Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life to the full. So when we think of this destruction of the soul and the spirit, the immediate thing that comes into my mind, the devil. Or, as church goes, as we go, as a people, we have defined what it is. We have defined what these things are. So we turn around and we say, that is sin, that is sin, that is sin, that is sin, that is sin. And we don't take care to what will actually destroy the soul. You say, Gavin, but what is going to destroy this soul and this spirit? Well, it's very simple. This soul that I have is connected to my emotions. It's connected to my feelings. It's connected to my desires. It's connected to my characters. It's who I am. It's my makeup. So if you look at the person next to you, you are looking at just a form or a shape, but inside there's a character. There's a soul. There's a living being. There's some of you. Sometimes when you look at each other, maybe we think, oh, no, this guy, I've said it many a time, this guy's dead on his feet. Heard that expression? The guy's dead on his feet. The guy's got no oomph. The guy's got no go. He's dead on his feet. No, it's just an expression. But sometimes we live dead on our feet. We don't live in the fullness of what God has for us. And we kill the soul. And how do we do this? Well, the scriptures are very, very, very clear. Because Jesus said you need to be careful of the one that will kill you physically, or those that will kill you physically. So folks, if we had war in here today, in this building, we'd annihilate each other. I don't know if the Americans will win, or the South Africans, or the Dutch, or the Germans, or the Malagasy. I don't know who will win the war, but we'd annihilate each other, but we'd annihilate the flesh. It's the body. But there's something that is destroying the life of God's people and the life of the church, the spiritual realm. We're not talking about a physical death here. We're talking about a spiritual death. We're talking about the death of the soul and the emotion of God's people. And the devil has come to rob us of that. And how does he do that? Well, it's very simple. We need to go back in the scriptures and we need to go and find out what would destroy the soul. What would bring destruction? What would stop us entering the level that God has for us? That area where Kim gets up here with the elders week after week and says, listen here, guys, I feel like God is taking Tanda City Church in this direction for this purpose, for that plan, to impact this city, to bring a message of freedom, to bring a revelation and a demonstration of who we are. What stops us from getting to that place? Folks, it's an individual thing. This is what I'm talking about here this morning. We talk about it in a corporate sense, but I want to tell you something. It's a very personal and very individual thing. I said last week I was in Ansar Bay with a guy from Egypt. I think he's an Arab. He's a Muslim guy. And we had a huge debate about our relationship with God. We sat at the lunch table and this, we had started the night before when we were having dinner. We got onto the subject about God and what God is doing and your relationship with God and what the Quran has to say and what the Bible has to say. We had a very, very interesting discussion. And we sat at the lunch table and I said to him, I said, you know, my friend, I said, we can discuss this forever and ever. We can discuss this until the cows come home. Do you know what it means, till the cows come home? It means late in the afternoon when the cows come home for milking. It means a long time away. So we can discuss it forever and ever. But I want to tell you one thing. One day, I will stand before God, and God is going to say to me, Gavin, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? And I will answer God. And then God will say to me, Gavin, and what did you do with the gifts that I gave you in your life? And I will tell God, I've done this. He said, yeah, yeah, that's very interesting. I said, yeah. And when I, and God asked me, and Gavin, what did you do about my one and only son? I said, the most important question that God is going to ask every man and every woman that will stand before him. And if I turn around to God and I say, ah, no, you know my Muslim friend. God's going to say, I don't know your Muslim friend. I know you. And I want to talk to you about you. So I have to give an account for me as an individual. And this morning as we sit here, we each have to give an account individually. So what does the Word of God say? What is going to kill us? What is going to destroy that soul? What is going to hold us back from the fullness of God? It's very simple. There were many books that were written to the churches. The Corinthian church, the Ephesus church, the Galatian church, the church of Thessalonians. There were letters that were written. And over the ages, as theologians and ministers and students of the word, different translations, different interpretations, there's all kinds of things that you can pull out of the word of God. If you kids don't stop it, you can stand outside. Okay? Sorry. There's all kinds of things that we can pull out of the Word of God. There's all kinds of areas in our lives that God can reveal to us and show us and give us direction. And there were clear writings to all the churches. There were reasons for these writings. Paul and Timothy and Silas and all these guys and James and John and all the guys that wrote the books, Moses, when he penned the first couple of books of the Bible, they were not just penned. They were penned for a reason. They were penned with instruction. They were penned with specifics in mind. If you go and read the Old Testament and you go and read about the kings and the way they lived, and this king grew up and he served God with all his heart and with all his mind, with all his soul, and God blessed that nation. And then his son rose up and he never served God the way his father did, and God brought destruction and instruction and etc., etc. And in today's day and age, God is bringing us an instruction for the church. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And I want to point out a couple of things that can destroy us as God's people, as God's children. Things that can bring huge destruction. And there's two or three that I want to really have a look at. But he says this in chapter 5 verse 1. He's speaking to the Galatian church. And he says to them, it is freedom in Christ Jesus. It is freedom in Christ Jesus. And folks, we have freedom in Christ. Those of us that are sitting here, that if we've surrendered our lives to God, we know that there is freedom in Christ. You right? You agree with me? How many of you have experienced that freedom in Christ? Yeah. There's a freeness that comes. We walk and there's this heaviness and there's this bondage that holds us down. That we feel like we can't even pick our face up. And then we meet Jesus. And there's a lightness. There's a life that comes. There's a freedom that comes. And he says here to the Galatian church, he says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. He's very specific to this church. He says to this church, listen here, guys, I want you to stand in freedom. I don't want you to submit to this burden and this yoke of slavery. And what is this burden and this yoke of slavery? Is it smoking 50 cigarettes a day, over gymming, overworking, total neglect of this fleshly thing? No. Yeah, he's talking clearly, I believe, to the spirit man. Listen here, guys. Don't go and burden yourselves. Don't get caught up with the snare that's going to hold you back. Because even when we go further on in the scripture, we'll see that he defines it. He comes along and he shares it. He says this in verse 13. You, brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. That's quite a strong, aggressive remark. Why did he say this to the Galatian church? What was the reason? Was it because maybe that's what they were doing? And I believe that this letter was written to the Galatian church with that in mind. Guys, you are biting one another. Guys, you are devouring one another. You are destroying one another. Physically? No. Not physically. They didn't have machetes and were chopping each other's arms off. No. They were biting one another. They never had love for one another. They never had forgiveness for one another. And he had to remind them and say, listen here, guys. Kim reminded us last week. He said, God loves you so much. He said the week before, the young ruler, he said to Jesus, he said, I've kept this command, that command, that command, that command, that command. And Jesus said to him, you have done well. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. But there's a command that overrides and overrules every single command. That you love one another. He goes on further and he continues talking to this Galatian church. He says, you need to live by the Spirit so that you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There's a war that goes on. There's a war. Every minute of the day. When you put your foot out of that bed in the morning, you are at war. Who are you at war with? You are at war in the spiritual realm because this flesh here wants to do this and the Spirit wants to do that. Am I right? Isn't that true? The things that we should do, these we not do, is what Paul wrote. He says that the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing, and the things that I should not be doing, I find myself doing. These are things that can destroy this inner man. Because then he goes on further and he says this. He doesn't stop there. He says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They are obvious. They are clear. They are written all over the place. You can see them. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealous fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. And envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't that speak of death? Think about it. Jesus said, don't fear him that is going to kill this body. But fear him that is able to kill both the body and the soul. And if I have an understanding of this here, those areas that I've just mentioned there, each one of them, when they creep into our lives, nobody knows them. Nobody sees them. Nobody understands them. Yes, we understand them. We all understand them because we know what they are. These are the things that will stifle your life in the spiritual realm. These are the areas where the devil will rob you. He will destroy you in these areas. If you go and have a look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, another letter. This letter that he wrote to the Galatian church, he was very clear. These are the things. Sexual immorality, idolatry, debauchery, all these things. Discord among the brethren, fighting, backbiting, killing one another. Folks, I want to tell you, God's not cross with you this morning. God wants you to live in freedom. That's all. And if you find yourself in any of these areas, the devil is stealing from you. You are being robbed of your personal peace. You're being robbed of the security that God has for you because you're living in an area where God doesn't want you to be. Subtle. It's not the smoking. It's not the dress code. No, it's those inner things that are eating away like a cancer, that chew away, that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that harboring of hatred, that envy, the lust. These are the things that the devil uses you to steal from you. Because he's stealing your joy and your peace in the confines of the King. He wrote to the Ephesian church and he had much to say along the same lines. We read it in chapter 4 verses 31. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate one to another, or to one another, forgiving each other just as Jesus Christ, God, forgave us. Folks, it's very clear there. He says, get rid of this bitterness. Get rid of this envy. Get rid of all of this stuff. And folks, we sit and we think, I'm okay. Gavin, I'm okay. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. I have the Spirit of God in me. We sit here and we harbor bitterness towards our parents because of what they did when we were 8 years old. We sit here and we harbor bitterness towards our spouse for something that happened 10 years ago. Right? Folks, this is not a powder puff message this. This is a challenge that God wants to challenge us and say, listen here, what area in your life is the devil stealing from you that you cannot enter my fullness? That you cannot enter and stand before me in freedom? That you cannot worship me freely? Folks, he was very clear here. He didn't pull any punches. He said, get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the rage and get rid of the anger. Folks, I want to take you to another letter. Another letter that was written to the Corinthian church. And we love this portion of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Ooh, it's such a beautiful. I want to read it at my wedding when I get married. Pastor, can you read the love chapter when you marry me? Beautiful portion of scripture. It's a lovely scripture. It's a beautiful passage. But folks, have you ever stopped to think why was that letter written to the Corinthian church? Have you ever stopped to think that Sunday after Sunday, God speaks to us over and over and over and over. Guys, live in my fullness. Live in my freedom. Just simply surrender your lives to me. And folks, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll find some very, very interesting things there. We'll find that this church was rebuked. This church, it was not a love letter. It was not, oh, get all goosebumps. Oh, this is so lovely. Love is kind. Oh, love is gentle. No. This letter came as a rebuke to the Corinthian church because the church was in a mess. The church was not in a good place. And folks, we sit here this morning and we say, we're the happy holy rollers. No, folks. We need to stop, take stock. Need to do an evaluation. The Word of God is very clear. No man knows the spiritual standing of any man or any woman but that man and the Spirit of God. I don't know the spiritual standing of Kim. I can only assume from what I see that he is a spirit-filled, godly man. Right? Can see it. Know it. Can listen to him. Can see when he preaches. Can see when I sit and I talk to him. You can pick it up. You soon know if there's a connection there with God. You'll pick it up. And here he comes along and he talks to this Corinthian church and he says to them, he's very clear, and I'm not going to read what it says here. It says, love is patient, love is kind, no. This church had no patience. No patience. I said in the Malagasy service this morning, God's got an amazing sense of humor. I am the most impatient man you've ever met in your life. Ask Rufus. He works with me. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. I have no patience. So what did God do? He sent me to Madagascar. Mura Mura land. Go and I will fix you. And I can tell you, I will not leave this island until I get that thing right. I mean, that's only one of my bad areas. I have a lot more. That's one of them. This church had no patience. And folks, I want to ask us as a church, as a body here, as we sit here today, do we have patience? The woman that's having a hard time with her husband at home, whose spouse is giving her a hard time, do you have the patience to walk with that man until God comes through? The drunkard. Do you have the patience for that drunkard? Do you have the patience for the homeless? Do you have the patience for the hungry? Do we have patience for one another? I have to ask this question this morning. We need to ask ourselves these questions. God, do I have the patience? We need to ask that. He says, yeah, kindness. They were not a kind church. They were unkind. That's why he wrote them this letter and he said, love is kind. Hey, Church of Corinth. You need to be kind. Tanna City Church, you need to be kind. Folks, there's some reality here this morning. Am I right? We are humans. We fall short in many, many areas. We just need to be honest and own up to it. And God does the rest. And these are things that can kill us on a spiritual level. He went on further and he said to them, listen to this. They despised others. Do you despise others? You ask yourself that question this morning. God, do I despise others? If I do, Lord, help me to work through this area. These are things that will kill you spiritually. These are things that the devil will rob your peace and your joy from walking with the King. He went on further to this church and he said to them, he said, you are proud and arrogant, boastful, aggressive. We have it all together, man. Look at us. We got a nice auditorium. We got nice sound equipment. We got an electric piano. We got a nice set of drums. We got a nice bass guitar. We have nice chairs we sit on. It's a little bit hot. We'll put some aircon in when we get some money. Be a bit cooler, and then we'll be nice and comfortable. We'll just have a nice, rosy, cushy, comfortable church. Folks, that's just a gathering of people. It's a gathering of people. We are doing nothing. We are just warming our backsides on these seats, making them nice and shiny. Yandri, get them to put some polish on you next Friday so we can polish these chairs. No, no, folks. Church is bigger than that. Church is wider than that. Church is life. It's a living organism. It's reproducing. It's all kinds of things. Folks, we must be careful of these things. Don't let any pride or arrogance be found in you. They were self-centered. It's all about me. It's only about me. It's just my little circle and nothing else. Nothing else matters. I don't care. I'm happy. I have peace with God. I've met people that said, listen, I don't want to know about the church. I don't want to know about the problems. I don't want to know about other people's problems. I have a good relationship with God, and that's where I'm going to leave it. I'm happy. Folks, that's a bad place to be. If you're not concerned about your neighbor, something's wrong. If you're not concerned about that poor person that's walking around unnecessarily looking for a few scraps of bread, something's missing. Does it tug at your heart when you see the orphans? Does it tug at your heart when you see the homeless? Does it tug at your heart when you see people in the church fighting with one another? Aggressively arguing with each other. I sit over there, you sit over there. Don't you come in my space, I won't come in your space. The Holy Spirit will deal with me over here, and the Holy Spirit will deal with you over here, but don't let us ever come together because there will be one big explosion. There will be chaos. Folks, it should not be like this in the kingdom of God. It should not be like this. We even have on the internet now, MySpace. MySpace. It's MySpace. Don't you come into MySpace. I want to tell you something. I want to be very, I hope I'm not going to get into trouble here. But I want to tell you, the elders that lead this church, that lead Dunn City Church, they're going to poke their nose in your space. Say, ah! They mustn't come poke their nose in my space. This is my space. You have nothing to do with them. Now, I want to tell you something. If they see something that is not godly and that is not right, they will approach you. They will come into your space. God will put them in your space. The Holy Spirit will come into your space. And He will come in and aggressively remind you what areas of your space is not good. Am I right? God's not cross with us. He just wants us to wake up. This wants us to get an understanding. There are areas in our life where we just like, put them in a corner. Don't shake the boat. Don't shake this house. That door might just open. And then you see what comes out there. You know the story about the man that went, he got up and there was a knock at his door. It's an old story this. Maybe I told it years ago, but I'd like to tell it again this morning. A guy got up in the morning, there was a knock at his door. He opened the door and there was Jesus. And he had this beautiful mansion, triple story, master's bedroom was on the third floor, he had everything, the latest jacuzzi with the TV, with the DVDs, with the everything. A sauna in one corner, a swimming pool, a gym. It was a mansion. And he saw the Lord standing there and he was like, wow, Lord. come inside. And he took the Lord inside and he showed him. To walk him through the whole house. He said, this is the kitchen. This is the dining room. This is the lounge. This is the entertainment center. If you come up to the second floor, these are the bedrooms. It's where children sleep. Everything of the best. Took him up to the master's bedroom. He said, Lord, this is the master's bedroom. And this room is yours. You can have it. You can live here as long as you want. Lord says, oh, thanks. Thank you for your hospitality. 3 days later, tuck, 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 opens the door. Here's the devil. Yeah, slams the door closed. The devil's banging on the door, opens the door, gets outside, closes the door behind you, has a big fight with the devil on the lawn. Devil gets the door open. They're in the house. They smash everything in the kitchen. They smash the tables. They smash everything. There's a massive noise. He's fighting, trying to get the devil out of the house. He's like, you can't be here. The Lord is upstairs. Get out. Fight. Bang. Smash. They smash everything on the first floor. They get to the second floor. They smash the beds. They smash the wardrobes. They smash the children's toys. They smash everything. They smash the windows. Eventually, he rolls the devil down the stairs, out the door, bolts the door. All the way to the third floor. Comes crawling into the master bedroom. There's the Lord standing. He's like, Lord, didn't you hear that noise downstairs? We smashed the whole house. The devil was trying to get in here, man. Why didn't you come and help me? Lord says, my boy, you only gave me this floor to live on. You didn't say anything about the rest of the house. And folks, in our lives, it's like that. We have these areas that we give to God, and we have these areas that we hold at bay. We don't give him full access to our lives. I'm getting sidetracked here. Let me just get back here again. Folks, this church harbored bitterness. They were evil people. He speaks there and he says that, love does not delight in evil. It doesn't hold record of wrong. They were easily angered. This church was in a bad place. And folks, I want to tell you this morning as we sit here, the inner corridors of our heart is where the devil is robbing us of the blessings of God on our lives. It's where the devil is taking away the peace of God in our life. And folks, if you're sitting here this morning, there were two areas there that I really felt, had a sense that God wanted to speak to us strongly on. And the one area is discord. Now we can say, ah, discord. Okay, let's define discord. What do we mean by discord? Is it just in the church context? Is it in my work context? Is it in my home context? Is it in my marriage context? Folks, you can have discord in your own marriage. You can sow discord in your own marriage. There's many areas in the church. Playing. The kids playing the parent game. No, ask your mother. No, ask your father. No, ask your mother. No, ask your father. Oh, mom said this. No. No, no. Somebody take a decision, man. Father of the house, lead your home well. Take care of your family. Honor your wife. Cherish your wife. Take care of your kids. Guide your kids carefully. Set good examples. Discord was one of them. And folks, we can destroy everything that is happening in Tanna City Church by bringing in one area of discord. One area of discord. So, Gavin, why do you say that? It's simple. Some friends of mine were working in the north of Madagascar. Was a church of more than 1,000 people in the church. And somebody in the church decided that the pastor should not wear short pants. He brought discord into the church. The church was split down the middle. 500 left, 500 stayed. Because 500 said, no, it's okay, the pastor can wear shorts. And the other 500 said, no, he mustn't wear shorts. Stupid. Small thing. But look what the devil had done. He destroyed how many lives? He'd broken up a whole entire work. And folks, as we sit here this morning, we need to pay attention. Discord. The other thing is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus said there, we need to forgive. As we have been forgiven, so we should forgive. And folks, if we are harboring in our hearts unforgiveness, you will kill your soul. You'll kill your soul. You'll destroy it. You'll have no peace. You'll have no joy. You'll have bitterness. You'll have envy. You'll have resentment. Folks, these areas that I've mentioned, but a few, is what will kill the soul of God's people. Why don't you bow your heads with me and pray? And even this morning, as we've heard God's word, we want to live in freedom. We want to live where God has placed us. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life to the full. Fullness of freedom. Why don't you bow your heads, as your heads are bowed. I want to ask you this morning, you say, Gavin, pray for me. There are areas in my life that I need God to intervene. All you need to do is raise your hand. Say, God, you know. Because I want to tell you, God knows. He knows the area where you are being robbed. If you want to respond this morning, raise your hand with me this morning. I want to pray with you. We're going to close. Let us pray. Father, as you have seen the hands that have gone up, and Father, as a people, as we sit before you this morning, we do not want to lose what you have for us as a family. We do not want to lose what you have for us as individual. And Lord, we ask that you would allow us to examine ourselves, that we may see the areas that would destroy our soul, that would take away our joy, that would take away the fullness of walking with you, that we may live in freedom, Father, that we may set these right. And Father, I pray for every person here this morning, every hand that was raised, every person. Father, may we experience freedom in Christ. May we experience your peace. May we have a full understanding of your love. As Kim reminded us last week, Father, you loved us more than we could ever imagine. I pray, Lord, that as this week unfolds ahead of us, may we have a sense of your love and your greatness and your goodness towards us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks, Yandri.